Hey there.
I'm Jamie, the New Yorker.
And I'm Talia, the Brit.
And you're listening to the Get Down, Lowdown.
Dating can be hard.
We get it.
The ins,
outs,
the ups,
the downs,
and the going downs.
Well, we're here to try to help demystify this conundrum.
To dig deep into the whos, the hows, and the whys of everything from ghosting to foreplay.
To sextiquette, to FOMD, and more.
We're not saying we have all the answers.
But as two women in the Big Apple who love getting down as much as the next gal,
it's only fitting that we give you the lowdown on what we've learned.
Hey, Tals.
Hey, Jamie.
I'm so excited to be back here with you. I feel like it's been so long.
It's been a while. We've taken a break because I had to pop home to England to go to a few weddings.
Pop across the pond.
Pop across the pond.
How is that accent? I think it's getting worse.
Keep practicing, babe. Jamie and I just finished a beautiful brunch together.
With our lovely friend Trish.
Yes.
Who you're going to meet eventually.
She's a redheaded, stunning, yogi babe. We just went to Cafe Clover, which is a perfect brunch spot for a sunny day, indoor or outdoor, healthy options.
So delicious.
Beautiful people.
Beautiful people. So well-dressed.
Yeah. Everyone's looking very fly in the city at the moment.
Talia and I were resident brunettes in a sea filled with blondes in the Lower West Village, wherever we were.
Yeah, West Village. I know. Mm. It's full of the blondes. We were the minority. Actually, this has been a very Jamie and Talia filled weekend.
It has. I was going to say, even after spending last night with you and this afternoon, I still have endless things to talk to you about, which is so nice.
last night Jamie and I went to the Guggenheim after dark,
or the Guggenheim, as I like to call it.
Guggenheim. You used to work there, right?
I interned there way back when, before I decided that I wanted to work in advertising instead of the exciting world of art. And it was really nice and kind of nostalgic walking back in. Not that I haven't been back there since I worked there, but I just really loved the time I spent there. So it was really nice, like, going back in a different context.
So cultured.
So cultured-ish.
Yeah, for those of you that haven't been in the summer, what is it, like once a month or something maybe, they do the Guggenheim After Dark, and you buy a ticket. If you're a member, you get to go for free, mm-hmm. I think. But if you're not, you get to buy a ticket for, what was it, like $30?
Yeah, or something, maybe less than that, $25. But the membership, I think, is like $75, which is nothing. Like,
for
if you
year.
Go to three of those.
Yeah, that's true as well. And it's basically a chance to view the exhibition, whatever's on after dark. And there is a bar with wine and beer and lots of beautiful people. It's kind of like a bit of
very
a singles scene-y. Mingle-y.
Very scene-y.
Very scene-y. Totally.
Although I saw some older people there too.
That's true.
I guess they were just hanging out.
Yeah.
And there's a DJ and feels very young and fresh and interesting. And
there was a lot of flirting going on. I feel like
there was.
I feel like it's quite a good place to meet people.
Totally.
I think there was maybe more single women than men.
Always.
Yeah.
But we recommend against wearing heels because those ramps are a bitch when you're in heels.
Yeah. That regretted that.
Learned that the hard way.
Totally.
Next to Giacometti's.
It was a really good night. And now here we are, episode 3.
So excited.
So excited.
Yeah, we have some cool topics for you guys today also. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, we were debating whether to do a delve into catch up of our weeks live on the podcast. But Jamie and I, for different reasons, have both had some emotionally traumatic experiences this week.
It's been a rough week. I'm not really one to believe in the whole like moon and stars bullshit, but like, I don't know, is Mercury in retrograde?
It may well be.
That's what happens when everything gets all wonky, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, at this brunch just now, the three of us just all had like love stories.
Oh my God.
Tears.
Oh my God. I cried again. It's been like a week filled with crying.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not going to go into the sensitive details right now, but needless to say, I am officially back on the market since the last time we recorded.
So men, beware.
Yeah, beware.
Ladies, beware. Hold your men.
Oh, that's very sweet. So, yeah, that's been a change for the books, but that's
good to have you back.
Thanks, honey. Means, you know, probably really juicy stories for the podcast. So every cloud.
It's good.
So yeah, single in New York in the summer. Rock on.
Oh my God. Some people get really like randy in the summertime. This heat makes me want to die. So I feel like you blossom in the heat and I wilt like a little flower.
Yeah. I'm just like the less clothes the better. So relaxed.
Oh, I like that. I'm like all about that. You get to see everything that everybody's wearing, all the lack thereof, but it's just too hot.
The energy,
it's too
like
hot.
It zaps out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I kinda come alive. I know. When I'm cold, I'm miserable and grumpy and
I want like 50 degrees. That's my jam.
that's your favorite.
50 degrees.
And so many people that I've been speaking to recently are like, oh, it's the best is to be single in the summer in New York. You want to meet someone just before the winter. That's the hibernation months.
Cuffing season.
Yeah. It's like a thing, isn't it? That's like the time when people couple up and then they shed their partner in the summer.
Exactly.
Yeah. I
mean, well, welcome to summer and being single in the summertime in Manhattan.
More stories next week. Yeah. Let's get on to our topics for today.
What are you talking about, Tals?
All right. Topic one, dating coworkers.
Oh, dear. Mm. I think pretty much at every single company I've ever worked at, I've hooked up with or dated, seriously, multiple coworkers.
Wow.
Per place. There's like, I can remember one. No, when I worked as a lawyer, I didn't hook up with anybody there. And there was one other agency that I'm not going to mention where it was, but where I didn't hook up with anybody. But other than that.
And is this because there's been such eligible men in those places of employment, or is it just because they're there and convenient?
It's a combination of everything. I think that you see different sides of people when you're dating, when you're working with them rather than when you're dating, right? Like, I've always thought about what that would be like if a guy I was dating saw me at work, like he'd be turned on or turned off, because I think I can be pretty intense.
Mm, but also pretty kick-ass.
Yeah. So it would be like either a huge turn on or be like, oh my God, she's crazy. Mm. But as far as availability, like, I work in advertising. We work all the time. Who are you spending most of your time with other than the people you work with? Like, yeah. I look at the Insta feeds of all the people I work with, and they're all always hanging out with their coworkers.
Yeah.
Like, Saturday afternoon, they're, like, watching football at a bar together. And I'm like, this is crazy. And, like, I hang out with coworkers outside of the office for sure, but I think there's some people who, like, literally their entire friend group are the people they work with.
It's quite a blend between the social and the work life and advertising specifically. Totally. I noticed that a lot of my British friends that are over here weirdly in advertising. I think advertising companies are like really willing to sponsor a visa for a British person. Mm. Something about the brand. I don't know whether that is really good creatives or something about, I don't know why that's so infiltrated in America. But I do notice that about your industry more than my kind of consulting industry.
Yeah, I think it's
super
prevalent.
Yeah.
Well, because we also drink a lot. Like, by nature, the industry is very drink positive.
And it's not frowned upon?
Inter-office? I mean, it's not like there's some certain companies that have policies. Like, if you start dating a coworker, you need to, like, report to HR and, like, make a whole thing about it.
You don't have that?
I don't think we do. I mean, if we do, I've never said anything.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. I mean, I can't imagine it would be the type of thing. I imagine if you're, like, dating a superior, maybe you'd have to report that because of the whole sexual harassment and just the industry being where it is right now.
Totally.
But otherwise, no, I can't imagine it would be the type of thing that anybody would need to report on, because literally HR would just be filled with filings of, like, I slept with blah, blah, I slept with blah, blah.
And is it, are there success stories, or is this more casual?
I think probably hit and miss. I've been in more long-term relationships with guys I've dated, and I've been in...
Oh, I meant in general. Oh. Like, do you see people in your companies that are, like... get together and they're then boyfriend and girlfriend at
the company. Definitely. There's like a number of people I work
but
with
I do want to
like
know about
actively dating
as well, obviously.
Yeah, I feel like I work with one person who's engaged to somebody he met at work, not at our current place of employment, but he met her at a company and now they're engaged. Another person also, like, they both started working at the company and now they've been dating for like 2 years or something like that. Yeah, I think it definitely can be a legitimate thing if you want it to be, or it can be fun and casual if you want it to be also.
We were looking up some stats on this because I remember reading the, what's the Aziz Ansari book, Modern Romance?
You read that?
Yeah, a while ago. Yeah, it's really great.
Interesting.
It's really great.
I love his show. I can only imagine his book would be good.
Oh, it's so good.
Do you have it?
Must read it. Yes, I do. You can borrow it. But he like told us then the breakdown of how frequently people meet their partners in different areas in the past versus now. And then I just wanted to Google it to refresh my memory. And a stat I found in a Bustle article was that 15% of people meet their partners at work still. So it's like a fairly decent...
That sounds low to me.
Sounds low.
I'd expect more. But still, I mean, it's regardless.
Yeah,
a pretty substantial
decent, like
percentage.
Like 1 in 10 people met their partner at work or more. So it does make sense. As you said, they get to see like you and your element.
Yeah.
You spend more time with them than anyone else.
Oh my God, yes.
But the risks, Jamie, the risks.
I know. I guess it's like... I dated a guy way back when. I was like a little baby assistant and I started dating somebody who I did technically report to at the time, but I reported to like 60 people, so it didn't really count. And we dated for about 6 tumultuous months and he was 10 years older than me, so it was like this whole situation to begin with. And like right around the time that things were kind of petering out, he had a lot of his friends were getting divorces and I was like, oh, I feel like you kind of need to like not be in a relationship right now. And he's like, yeah, I think you're right. Cut to like 3 months later. he came to me as his assistant. He asked me to put together some information for him, like his 401k information, his like whatever. I had like access to all that information because I was his assistant. And I was like, why? And he's like, oh, I'm moving. I was like, why are you moving? He's like, well, like, let's talk about this outside of work. So he calls me later that night and he's like, I met somebody, we're moving in together. And I obviously he'd been cheating on me with her.
Oh no.
And they were moving in together and now they're married and have children and whatever. It was like a beautiful situation for them, but it was like really, really hard for me because then we moved buildings and I got the seat assignments and I literally had to sit next to him for the next 6 months and nobody had known beforehand. So like,
so you were dating casually for 6 months and then he on the side met someone serious,
I guess.
That's basically what happened. Well, and you didn't want to get more serious with him?
I was 25. Mm. I was a child. Yeah. Or 24.
That's painful. So yeah, that's it was terrible.
So that was not fun. But in general, I think once that happened, I was like, okay, I need to like change the way that I approach it. And I stopped like dating seriously at work. It's more just fun and casual.
Just fun. And like being really upfront around about it.
Yes, 100%.
The issue is, I think when you start something at work without thinking or just because it feels good and then you want to get out of it, I feel like that's when it gets tricky.
It can be tough, but you have to be super upfront, be like, I'm not looking for anything serious, or here's what my expectations are, or whatever, and then everybody's aligned and nobody gets hurt.
That works.
Or people still get hurt, but at least you've been upfront with them.
So since I moved to New York, there's been a couple of guys in the office that I've fancied out of a bad bunch. So there's not many. Slim pickings where I work. But
I hope none of your coworkers are listening to this.
Sorry, guys. I'm not talking about you. But there were two guys, both quite a lot younger than me. And one I did go on a couple of dates with, a Jewish guy, like maybe 26 or maybe 5 years younger than me. And first date, he took me to what's the beautiful opera house, Carnegie Hall, which I thought was very...
Oh my God, that is so classy.
I know.
He probably was like, I'm dating an older woman, I need to impress her.
Yeah, for serious. And he like dressed up and we were like front row for a violin.
Holy crap.
I know, it was really cool.
I don't remember
the
last time that a guy who's older than me took me on a date.
I know, right? It's like before they're like,
men,
scarred.
Listen, learn from your younger homies.
It's true. They're like not afraid to splash out on a woman. It was really nice. We went for Chinese afterwards. And then we went on another date and then I just suddenly realized this wasn't going to work. Like it was like kind of the whole...
26 to 31 is a big difference.
I think it was him, not the age. Oh. I'm open to... definitely open to big age gaps. It was just personality-wise. He was making a lot of jokes that I wasn't...
amused by.
Yeah, but it just... I don't know. It just didn't feel right. And also it didn't feel right enough that I was willing to risk a more awkward work situation. So I decided that we just needed to nip it in the bud. I felt weird about the fact that I didn't know, like a normal person, if you're like not sure, you'd maybe like wait 10 days before seeing them again or something, but it was, I was gonna see
the
next
day.
Yeah. And he was pinging me and IMing me and coming to say hi at the end of the day, and I just felt really claustrophobic and as lovely as he was, it just, the whole situation
made you uncomfy.
Yeah, so I just ended it and explained that it was mainly the work thing, and that's fine. And then the other guy I had a crush on, he was so gorgeous, and it was so weird. I got approached through my personal Instagram when I was in London one time by Bravo TV asking...
That's so freaking cool.
Saying, do you have a secret crush? It was just, they commented on a picture, we're doing a new TV show on secret crushes, do you have one? So I was like, sure I do. I hadn't even thought of who it was yet, but I have a bunch of secret crushes. So then they were emailing me and they said, you just need to think of one, maybe someone at work or at the gym that you would maybe be willing to confess it to live on a Bravo TV show. And I thought of this guy at work who is really sexy, really
so
charming.
Cute.
I
so cute.
Thought he was maybe, I hoped he was straight. I wasn't sure. He was like super well-dressed. But anyway, so we went back and forth with Bravo. He got approached and said, someone in your life has a secret crush on you. And he didn't know who it was. And, you know, after months, they filtered us down and they picked like five couples and we were one of them. So we got to go on Bravo TV and it was pretty brave.
I didn't know that you were like up against five other couples.
No, I was up against like hundreds of other couples and then they picked five that they wanted to be on TV that had the best story.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool. So cool. I think it's so ballsy that you did that. I have so much respect for you. I could not put myself out there like that.
I don't know. I guess I didn't think that he liked me anyway.
That's what I was going to say. What if he rejected you?
Well, I already, if you watch it, you'll see, but I already, at one point I thought he was maybe interested because he used to come over and chat to me a lot, but he was so friendly. And then we exchanged numbers and he was going to invite me to his birthday party. And I was like, yeah, he likes me.
Okay.
And one night.
So there was enough like history that gave you indication that he was somewhat interested.
Well, wait for it. So that's what I thought. And then I was out in the East Village one night and he texted me saying, are you in the East Village? He knows I live there. And I was like, yes, I am. And it was like 11 p.m. And I was like, this is it. He's keen. He's going to come meet me for a drink. I was out and about and I was really, really excited and like redid my makeup, blah, blah, blah. And then he walked in with a girl. She didn't speak very good English. And I thought he just maybe like had a friend that he was like showing around town. She didn't speak any English actually at all.
How did he communicate with her?
He speaks Spanish.
Ah.
And then she went to the bathroom at some stage and I was sitting next to him and I was quite tipsy. And I'm like, all right, tell me your deal. Like, are you gay? Are you straight? Are you single? Are you available? And he's like, oh, that's my, I'm seeing that girl. She's kind of my girlfriend.
No.
And I was like, he hadn't quite, dropped that I was coming on to him. I was just kind of asking for information, but I was just like, all right, stop right there. Backtrack, Talia. And then I ended up going dancing with the two of them that night to Miss Lily's in the East Village, the three of us. It was so,
so
weird.
Interesting that he got in touch with you. I think that's a pretty fascinating.
I think he didn't see me like that at all. That's the thing. So I thought he just saw me as like a cool chick to hang out with in the East Village.
Right.
So that's why the show, I thought, I'm going to confess my crush to this guy because he doesn't really know I'm interested.
Okay.
I didn't blow it that much.
Yeah.
And I figured he was going to say no anyway, but it wouldn't be like terrible.
Right.
And so I just thought it would be fun. Little did I know. And also I thought he still had this girlfriend.
Right.
So I thought I was just telling him. Little did I know they'd broken up like 2 weeks before.
Oh gosh.
And apparently he was interested, which is quite funny. So we ended up having like a wild night that night. We took our...
I can't imagine, regardless of what the circumstances are, that he would be like, oh, cool girl to hang out with in East Village. Let me bring my girlfriend to go meet up with this girl who I work with, unless there was something...
Maybe, but then what is he going to like parade his girlfriend in front of
me? Who the fuck knows? Maybe he thought that he would get jealous and it would be like a potent aphrodisiac and who knows?
Maybe. Who knows indeed. But the show was so fun.
It's great. Can they watch you?
Yeah, you can watch me. If you Google like English girl with redhead guy, if you Google secret crushes on YouTube, hold on, I'm looking it up right now. Secret crushes, red hair, English girl. You can watch it. It's pretty funny. Here, secret crush. He likes foreign women. She likes ginger hair. Bravo.
Oh my God, I love it.
If you put that in, you can see me.
Guys, watch it. It's amazing.
Myself.
You can see a little bit more of the Talia that you already are probably grown to love.
Just being bold.
Out and about.
Needless to say, we didn't keep dating. That was actually when I ended up meeting someone else. Mm. And I didn't think it was going to go anywhere. He was on the rebound. But we did have a bit of fun and we still flirt a lot.
Oh, nice.
So it worked out really
well.
You
need your office crush. Regardless of whether or not anything happens, you need the person who like you get excited to see and who you dress up a little bit more for when you know that you're going to be in a meeting with them.
Pretty fun. What about office?
I don't have any more office crushes.
What about... Oh, what? No. You need to move company, girl. Like, forget it.
I either like hooked up with all the people I was interested in or I don't know.
What about affairs though? Office affairs. Mm. People that are cheating on their partner with their
I hate to
secretary.
Say it, but I also think that advertising, it's more prevalent because we work such crazy hours that like you're never with your actual family. And I feel like there's probably a lot of affairs in advertising.
Risky.
Sad. Yeah. Sad but true. And you know anything juicy and interesting?
I've definitely seen my share of affairs going on in my office that I've been party to.
It can get messy because like then
so messy.
You work so close. Like think about the show The Office. Like you work so closely with all these people. You see so much of their interpersonal and lives and stuff like that. And it's just like, oh, sometimes you get a little bit of too much of a window into their soul that you wish you didn't have to see.
I agree.
Sometimes business and personal are best left separate.
Totally.
At this point, I don't think that I would actually... never say never.
What, in terms of date someone seriously in the
office?
It's tricky. So this is actually a really good segue into our Ask Us Anything this week. We've had someone write in who has started a new job about 7 months ago and has a seriously big crush on a coworker. She liked him from the minute she started and hasn't told him. She thinks he might be interested in her. They spend a lot of time together in and out of work. They're both new to the city and they both have dogs, so they're socializing a lot. And she doesn't know how or if to tell him and if it will make it weird if she tells him.
Interesting. I actually just heard a very exciting story from a girlfriend of mine who works in medicine. And she said, like, I led a trip to Morocco a few months ago and she last time we all went out together was like, oh, there's this resident, like, I think he's so great, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, girl, you have to ask him out. And she texted us. It's been like a month since I saw her. And she's like, update, I'm going out with him next week.
Yay.
So exciting.
It's so important to just ask. If you don't ask,
just
ask.
I mean, I think as awkward as it potentially can be if you're dating somebody, and obviously we just shared all these stories about how it can get really freaking awkward if you're dating somebody and stuff goes awry, like, it's such a right place to meet people. Don't pass up any opportunity.
Yeah, and, like, I feel like even if you don't like them in that way,
you'll figure it out. Like, you're all adults.
Yeah.
You're adults here.
Figure it out, and, like, you still really respect someone that confesses that they're into you.
Totally.
And it's so flattering.
Totally. Think about it. Who wouldn't want somebody to come up to them and be like, I have a crush on you? I'm like, amazing.
Yeah. And also, it's like, you're going about it in a mature way. You're like, I have a crush on you. If you're interested, let's pursue it. If not, then
that's cool too.
That's cool too.
Let's go our separate ways.
As long as it is cool. And, you know, if you see them every day, I understand that then it might be a bit painful to know that they've rejected you, or they might find it.
At that point, how much of a love relationship have you developed with them? Yeah. Right? Like, it's just a crush. It's purely based on physical, maybe a little bit of, but like, you
know. This is 7 months. She's had this crush for 7 months since day one.
How closely does she work with him?
Well, she's given me quite a lot of information in this email. Closely. It's a very small team.
Mm. That's tough, because then she is seeing sides of his personality.
Yep.
Do they travel together?
Not been a lot of travel, but they've been, you know, socializing in and out.
And she knows he's single?
Yes, single.
What's her hold back? Hold up?
Fear of rejection.
Was anybody's hold up?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a stupid question.
Fear of rejection.
Oh, that's tough.
How should she go about it?
Go to middle school. Have somebody like send him a note and be like, do you
Oh, my God. I know that they like babysit each other's dogs or whatever.
Oh, that's
whatever
she was adorable.
Saying. I was like, why don't you tie a note around his dog's collar?
Do you like me? Oh, that's
so
cute.
Wouldn't that be cute?
Oh my God, like, I love that.
Wait for Nick. It could be so romantic, or it could
or
be
just
so
like
hot.
Leave her vibrator there while she's at his.
leave a vibrator there,
guys. That's terrible advice. Don't do that.
I'm not sure what message that sends, but
then I'll have to like broach the conversation, and then she can be
like sex.
Why don't you use it with me?
All right.
And guys, so, this is further evidence of why I have no game.
Let's not approach Jamie for how to confess crushes. Oh, although, really, don't approach me either. I mean, I went on TV to do it. It's like, talk about extreme.
And I guess like with me, whenever I've had a crush on him, like, I'm pretty blunt.
You
as much
are.
As I was saying, like, I would be mortified to have. I think the idea of somebody going up to a crush and being like, this person has a crush on you is more nerve-wracking to me than me going up to them being like, hey, you basically stood the possibility of rejection on like TV. That's terrifying to me. Obviously, that wasn't going to happen because you're gorgeous. But that is more scary to me than like him saying to my face, thanks, but no thanks. I think that
we're
was
all humans. Like, we're not everyone's cup of tea and taste. So, and who knows what their dating situation's really like. But if you don't ask, you are never
that's true. That's
going
true.
To know.
Fortune favors the bold.
It does. But, I mean, seven. Also, I can't imagine personally I'd have let 7 months go. But, like, I'd have
tried to.
Oh, my
God, I'd kill myself.
Also, she could just kiss him. Instead of saying anything, she could also just go in for the kiss.
Do they, like, go out drinking together?
Yes.
How does he behave when they're out together? Is he flirty? Is he?
I don't know. We have to ask.
Tell her to start doing that.
She
like,
said
start slow.
She said that she thinks there's something there, maybe.
Put her hand on his leg, like touch his
I
arm,
agree.
Like do like
yes.
little things and see how he reacts to it. And if he's like
100%
non-receptive, then
you'll know pretty quickly if somebody leans away or leans in when you touch their leg.
And like if you're out drinking, that's perfect.
I think some people though, that's like a big move to physically flirt with someone. I know that
I guess
we're quite tactile people.
That's true. That's true. We like to be touched and to touch.
Yeah.
But not already. Right now.
We're not really. She's like 3 feet
She's
away.
Just holding my hand.
Footsies.
I wish.
But yeah, I say.
No, that's true. I guess not everybody's as comfortable like doing that kind of thing. But even just like flirting, like do something. Imagine if she was on a date with somebody, like how would she let on that she's interested and like do little things like that.
And then the other, I think that's a really good approach. Or if she does want to just say something, I think just saying it like really casually, just like, I would be willing to pursue something with you. I think there might be something there. I'm attracted to you, but no pressure. And if
you've known each other for 7 months.
Yeah.
I mean, New Year's Eve this year, I asked out a very good friend of mine.
How did that go?
It didn't work out, but like, I didn't really think it was going to work out. And I wasn't even sure if I was interested, but it was just like,
oh, well, that's less at stake.
Yeah. I was
still ballsy.
Should we try dating? And he was like, I feel like that could fuck up our friendship. And I was like, yeah, okay. It's easier to put yourself on the line if you don't care what the outcome is.
Yeah, that's totally. She really cares.
Yeah.
Oh. But
crushes. Life's so fun.
What if he's thinking exactly the same thing
I
as
know.
Her? And he just is, doesn't know how to do it either. I mean, they could just be so in love.
Girl, I don't know you, but I think you should make a move is the bottom line.
Boom, boom. All right. Advice given.
If you have any other questions, I'm sure that you enjoyed hearing our little debating it out. But Tanya and I, although we often see eye to eye on most of these things, we sometimes diverge in our approach to dating and love and life and all those things. So hit us up, gdld@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, tell us about the time that you were dating a coworker, had an witnessed an office affair, confessed a crush to somebody after a long time.
Or anything completely unrelated. Tell us about the last time that you, I don't know, did something really, really stupid or dangerous in love.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Tell us and we'll talk about it. Give us stuff. All right. Well, we have a slightly racier second topic for the later PM portion of the podcast today.
Get a glass of wine, maybe hop in the tub, listen to us.
Were you making fluid innuendos there on purpose?
No. Oh. Maybe. I'm always making innuendo. I basically live in a world deeply rooted in innuendo.
Perfect. Because, it's a very liquid-filled second half. We wanted to talk about...
Keep the fluidy puns coming.
I don't know how it even... we were just like, what should our second topic be? And we were just like squirting. And then we just started really excitedly talking about it.
Well, okay, to be fair, we have this list of topics. And we kind of refer to it before we have these podcast sessions. Yep. And we're like, which ones go well together? And I was masturbating this morning and I was thinking, like, I wonder if I could make myself squirt. Like, if you get aroused enough, I wonder if that's physically possible. You can just kind of lead to it.
Did it feel like that might be getting closer this morning?
Yes. And I feel like right when I'm on, like, the precipice of that, I, like, pull back. Because I'm like, ah.
Yes.
It's, like, a lot. So then when I saw it on our list of potential topics, I immediately felt like we needed to talk about it.
Squirting. Fascinating. Fascinating.
I feel like
topic.
It's like the unicorn. Like every people are like, or the white elephant. People are like, does this actually happen? Is it a thing? Is it an urban legend?
Totally. And I don't quite get why men
it's so appealing.
Let's
I think
delve
it's a perception
that.
That like you're so turned on that like you physically need to release fluid from your body in a projectile.
So
manner.
it's like an extreme response to what it's like. I'm a man. I did this. To
look
a woman,
at what I did. Exactly.
And it like fucking showered.
It's like men peeing. Right? Like guys are like obsessed with seeing like their own urine, like the mannequin piece, like the little statue in Belgium of like the little boy holding his penis peeing into the fountain.
It's like a power thing?
Yeah, I think so.
A power thing and like a, probably just like, it's like a wonder of the world.
Yeah.
It's like, how is that happening?
It's like the pyramids.
I mean, it's a huge sector on porn. I mean, good Lord, that's like.
It doesn't turn me on to watch it though.
Not at all
no,
to me either.
I'm like, oh, you just made a mess in your bed.
Well, so now I'm curious, like, are there women, I'm sure there are, that are like super turned on by themselves squirting? Like, is that like women that for them that's the grail, the holy grail? Because I've read a fair bit into it, and I don't think necessarily it's not like a substantially better orgasm from what I can tell.
Okay,
it's maybe a little bit
is that the mentality?
More intense. It's not meant to be like more pleasure.
In your experience, has it been?
So I have,
guys, by the way, we're sitting with an official squirter.
Oh my God, that is not. I'm not putting myself in the official squirting category.
We're sitting with somebody who has
experienced it
before.
I've a handful of times in my life it has occurred.
That's more than other people can say, present company included.
Well, some people can turn it on whenever they want, like press the button and go.
Turn on the waterworks.
Yeah, and I've been with guys that say like, oh, I was with a squirter once, and they talk about it as if like,
or I made this woman squirt. I'm like, guys, shut up. Come on.
Yeah. Also, I suppose that's a way of, you know, that guy never really knows if a woman's faking it, but if they're squirting, they're not faking it. I mean, the water's got to come from somewhere, right?
Wait, so it's tied directly to orgasm?
Yeah, I believe so.
Teach me everything.
I'm not an expert on that. For me, so in my experience, it's been, yes, definitely when I orgasmed, and only when like really intense G-spot stimulation, like prolonged G-spot stimulation for me. And it's almost like the specific angle and pressure buildup. And sometimes when it's on, to be honest, it's happened more when it's been like orgasm 2 or 3 or 4.
Okay.
Often when using a toy.
Okay.
I've never got there without a toy. And
oh, interesting.
There's almost like a specific part of me that I know that bit where I press is what can trigger it. But it's not every time. And it's a weird feeling because it's like a real like loss of control feeling. And it does kind of feel like you're like peeing or something.
Right.
But it gushes out. And we were just looking this up. You know, there's a big debate about what is it? How much of it is pee? I'm quoting here this directly from Women's Health magazine.
Even the fact that it says female ejaculation.
Yes.
I never really thought about that. That's exactly what it
female
is.
Ejaculation.
Female ejaculation.
Yep. So about 2 ounces of clear fluid.
2 ounces. What is that? That's like a shot.
It's a shot. It's
that's
a New
a
York.
Lot.
It's a New York shot. It's a big shot. That's why it's like
that's a
it's
lot.
An extreme reaction.
Oh my God.
And it's not all. It's the jury's out.
How did I just compare it
to
how
a
much
shot.
Comes out of your body to a
it's
shot? To
it's a New York measure. 2 ounces. And I'm sure some people are into shooting that back right back.
So gross.
Sorry, Jamie.
I'm sorry, guys. But I'm sex positive, and I support that if that's the type of thing that turns you
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
I mean, drinking it. Specifically.
I mean, what's the difference between that and a guy going down and you, let's be honest?
And swallow.
Other than the fact that it's pee.
And we call it swallow cum.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
So this is, it's probably not all pee, but researchers aren't so sure yet. Some experts say that the fluid comes from the Skene's gland, tiny glands around the urethra, and it's not pee. While others say it's absolutely urine. I think there's a balance. It could be a bit of...
Can't they just look into what it's composed of?
Well, that's what they do. I think it varies. I think that's the point.
No two women are the same.
Yes.
Yeah, no two ejaculates are the same either.
Some women ejaculate from the glands, others release more diluted urine, or they could both be happening at the same
time.
But
even if you don't squirt, don't you still get like...
A little bit of pee there?
No, you get like something. Like when I have an orgasm, like...
Yeah, but I think that's just your normal lubrication.
Your body's secreting,
fluids from... Huh. I'm not...
I know nothing about my body, Talia. This is what I'm quickly learning.
Do you want to learn more about your body?
Special friend literally drew a picture of me to show me which parts of my body were which.
You know what? I think it might be because you've never really had a problem in that area. You always seem to be very satisfied with your sex life and find it very easy to have enjoyment. So why?
I wouldn't have to delve deep.
Yeah, why do you need to? Everything works down there as well as you could possibly imagine. Like, you know, it feels good. I feel like it's more when I'm like, all right.
What's happening? Let's understand.
Yeah, I feel like that's what... I mean, but I feel like it's no bad thing to get to know your body a little bit
better. No, yeah, I'm like, it's there. It's fine.
Do you mind looking at it?
No, not at all. Not in the least.
Yeah.
To your point, like never needed to, I guess.
It is hard. I've been reading about it recently, but I forget it. Like I'm still confused on all my inner, outer labia, urethras, which that She Comes First book I talked about in the last podcast. That's great.
I feel like you're learning so much. I feel like every time we have these conversations, you're like so knowledgeable about all these things.
About my three sex books.
I love it.
I'm about to start reading Attached, which looks really, really good about attachment theory and relationships. But it's like the modern version of it.
I'm reading a book called You Are a Badass. I just cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say I'll lend it you afterwards if you want. It's reading
relevant
all the books. People in relationships.
All the books.
What's You're a Badass about?
I'm in a feminist book club at work.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes, we meet like once or 1.5 months and talk about... The way that we're defining feminist books has been very loose and kind of wide-ranging and subject matter. But this was just recommended by somebody in our crew, and it's basically a little bit more self-helpy than I'm like a fan of.
Okay.
And she acknowledges that early on. She's like, some of you are going to read this book and like roll your eyes, but like stop it and just lean in. And there's some interesting stuff about it. It's just like how you can manifest change in your life and how you can kind of like acknowledge that there's things you want to change. And she gives you, I wouldn't say clear steps on what to do to change them, but like suggestions of how you can kind of bring about the change you want to see.
And it's specifically geared towards women.
No, it's just called You're a Badass. Does she talk about women? I don't remember.
Is it
more geared towards women.
Is it making you feel like a badass?
No. I kind of wish I didn't have to read it, to be honest. I mean, it's good,
so it's
just like so not the type of book that I normally would read. I read fiction. I read historical fiction or nonfiction or...
Yep.
Fair enough. Like, yeah, it's just like not my cup of tea. It's good. It's well written. It sold like millions of copies. It was a New York Times bestseller. So I think it's like a pretty well-known book. It's just like not the book that if I went to a bookstore, I would pick up to read.
Do you have a favorite self-help book?
I don't like any of them.
Not a big self-help
fan. It's so not my thing.
You need other people to help you. Fuck self-help. Too much work.
I used to go to acupuncture all the time. My acupuncturist was like, certain people respond to different types of like physical healing differently. He's like, you're very receptive to acupuncture because you need somebody doing something to you or else like you're so high energy that you couldn't just like sit and meditate. Like this is very good for you because it forces you to like sit here and have this experience in this moment in this session. And it was like a really astute observation. He's also brilliant.
Didn't you have a crush on your acupuncturist?
A little bit. I hope you're not listening to this.
He's not your Facebook friend, right?
We are Facebook friends.
Oh.
He's in a relationship now with the woman who worked with him. And I'm in a relationship now, so it's a little bit moot.
Crush is a harmless.
Oh, my God. I had such a crush on him. Okay, fine. I don't care if you're listening to it. I thought your fingers were magical. You just, like, made me feel things that I didn't think that my acupuncturist could make me feel.
Let's get you on Bravo TV.
And I had such... When you were actually saying it, he was the first person who popped in my head.
That would have been a great one.
Oh, my God. That would have been so awkward.
That would have been
awkward.
Better than co-workers.
That would have been so awkward.
Ooh. Maybe we should... What other secret crushes have we had?
Oh, and there's one other person who came to my mind. He doesn't work at my company anymore, but I have, like, a little bit of a crush on him. Secret crush. Oh, but you mean in life?
Yeah. Like at the gym or...
I had a crush on a guy at my gym, but I kind of nipped that in the bud.
And you acted on that, didn't
you? Oh, I did act on that.
That's wonderful. How did you approach that?
We had a personal training session. He was new. I saw him.
The kids call it nowadays.
Oh, my God. I saw him across the room and I was like, who is that? And he was like, delicious. And he like saw me looking. He was like making eyes at me, whatever. And he came over and he's like, do you want a free personal training session? And I was like, I've been a member of this gym for like 10 years. I've already gotten a million personal training sessions for free. He's like, it's cool. I'm new. I have like a quota that I need to give a free personal training sessions.
Like,
so he gave me
porno.
A session. It was like super hot. And he like made me work really hard.
Hot.
And at the end of it, I went over to him and I was like, look, like, I'm really not interested in personal training sessions. Like, I'm training for a marathon. Like, I need to just, like, be running outside. But I think you should give me your number in case I change my mind. And I texted him the next day. And then, like, we went on a date and we dated. We hooked up for, like, a couple months, actually. And he was living with his parents at the time.
He was
24.
Baby.
And so he had to commute to his parents, which was like a 2-hour commute each way.
So you didn't hook up at his parents' house?
Oh my God, no. So he was like thrilled when he could stay at my house because I'm like a 10-minute walk from the gym. So he would always be like, can I crash? And like, you know, I have policies about not having sleepovers with people who I'm not in relationships with.
Yeah.
And
it
was like,
not worth the lack of sleep.
Oh my God, exactly. And it was a little bit challenging for me, but like whatever, he was sweet and he was beautiful to look at. So.
And was it... This is kind
we
of
knew
like,
early on it was never going to go anywhere. One of our first dates, I was like, do you know who Mrs. Robinson is? He's like, no. I was like, oh, dear.
Oh, dear. God. We're too young to know that movie. You know it's not right.
And we knew early on, like I said to him, I was like, this is just for fun. Like, he talked to me about other people he was dating and like other relationships he was involved in.
So it just petered out.
It was like, oddly enough, big brother, big sistery type dynamic, except for when we were hooking up.
Although that would be kind of hot as well. Sick kind of way. It's all about the taboo.
Oh my God. And then he started dating this other trainer at the gym and they split up and now they have to see each other all the time. So I feel like we have this like weird unspoken throuple.
It's basically like dating colleagues at the gym.
Totally. But I feel extra bad for them because I feel like they were like hot and heavy. I follow both of them on Instagram and like you could see they were both like love of my life, blah, blah, blah. Cut to like they're not talking to each other and they just like record each other doing squats and stuff like that. And now they're completely not communicating with one another. So I'm like, ooh, must have been like a really bad breakup.
Must have been.
And he still checks me out when I'm in spin class. I'm like, yeah, I know.
You're really good at, like having cutoffs and being cool with guys that you used to hook up with. I think I'm much warier than you. Mm. I rather not shit worry or...
You have to compartmentalize and you have to be like, again, I think the most important thing in those relationships is just like being really, really upfront really early on. And like,
what if
this
you
is
don't
not going
to
go anywhere.
For me, it's like,
I know after one date if I want to date somebody or not.
Wow, really good decision-making ability. I'm more gray.
But how I don't trust my gut, but I trust my gut on that stuff. I like know immediately. I backtracked probably once in my life.
Mm.
Yeah, like remember a few months ago, I guess at this point it was probably about a year ago, but I got in touch with somebody who I'd been on like 3 dates with and he was absolutely lovely and I don't know why at the time I wasn't interested in him and I got in touch with him and I was like, let's try to pick this up again.
And it was the same
thing. And he was dating somebody else.
Yep.
So it just didn't work out. But like he was probably the only person who was like, ooh, maybe my gut was wrong.
Yeah. Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe you'd meet him and your gut would have been bang on.
Right. I mean, we did end up meeting up for a drink and he's like, I'm dating somebody and whatever. Water under the bridge. But we're like, we stayed loosely in touch and are still friendly-ish.
Hmm. Interesting. But what if your gut, what you think has been your gut saying no has led you to miss some great opportunities?
I'm sure it has. 100%. But, you know... For better or worse, there's so many people in Manhattan.
Yeah.
That like...
You've got to have a filtering process somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do wish that I'd... In retrospect, I think there probably were some people I should have given more of a shot to, but...
Hindsight's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And if it's meant to be, they will come back around.
Yeah, exactly. I do believe that. I got in touch with another person. Actually, I guess there have been a couple of people I regretted, but I've always gotten back in touch with them, been like, hey, did we make a bad choice? He was living in California. Mm. It was actually when I was in France last year. when I was on that horrible friends trip that we can talk about on another podcast, I like reached out to this guy and I was like, hey, I was an idiot for like turning you. He was like the most lovely human being. He wasn't Jewish, and that was the biggest deal breaker for me at the time.
Wow.
He was actually a preacher's son.
Well, that's kind of very opposite of not Jewish.
Yes, and at the time I was like, I really can't do this with him, but like he was so handsome and so lovely and would have just been like a wonderful guy to date. And I texted him and he's like, I live in California, like that's so sweet that you reached out. But
oh man.
Yeah. Alas.
Alas, the one that got away. Well,
as you said, if it's meant to be, I'll come back around.
Exactly. All right, well, on to our final feature, which is New York Date of the Week. I'm going to share one of my favorite date spots in the whole of New York. I've been on friend dates. I've taken my family there. I've been on lots of dates. It's the William Vale Hotel in Williamsburg. There's a bar on the top called...
Guys, there is life outside the island. Ty is about to tell you about a Brooklyn experience.
In the dark, dark corners of the world in Williamsburg. The bar is called Westlight, and I think it's one of New York's best kept secrets. And the reason it's so good is because it's a rooftop bar that you can actually book a table at without having a minimum spend or a minimum amount of time, and you don't have to have a meal, and it can be for as little as two people.
Fancy. And
so basically you book a table on OpenTable. And
should I have my birthday there?
Absolutely. It's incredible. And you can just rock up, skip the giant line of all the morons that didn't know you could book that are waiting out the door for the elevator.
Don't tell everybody. This is your secret.
I know, this is my secret. I'm ruining it. And then you get to skip the elevator line and go straight up. And it's this classy, stunning, like retro but modern chic bar with a big indoor area if it's too hot or if it's too cold.
I was going to say you love a rooftop. I have issues with it sometimes because I get too hot.
But the indoor area is bigger than the outdoor area.
Oh,
so
nice.
You have the 360 views.
Amazing.
But it's indoor and beautiful cocktails and nibbles. And then there's also this huge balcony where they have seating and some of the best views in New York.
Wow.
And you can eat up there, or if you want to extend the date and make it a two-part date, they have an awesome restaurant in the basement, a restaurant called Luca, which is part of the William Vale Hotel. I think you said you had a voucher for it.
We sent my parents there every year for their anniversary. We buy like a reservation at a restaurant, so we sent them there this year for their 35th anniversary or something. Yeah,
did they like it? That's a very cool place to spend the parents.
Yeah, you know, I like do research and I find interesting expensive restaurants that I would like to go to, but tend to not have super fancy dinners like that, and then just send mom and dad there.
Did they like
it? And they had extra money left over, so they gave it to me and were like, take special friend on a date.
It's delicious. Oh, that's why you have the voucher, because they had extra money left over.
Yep.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I know, they're adorable.
So Luke is great. And then, you know, if you're really going strong, you can go across the road to Output and hit up the club scene.
Oh my God, I kind of want to go to Williamsburg and party with you now.
Although
I have a race tomorrow morning.
Yeah, maybe not tonight then.
I probably should not be drinking anything right now.
Next weekend I'm going out Friday night, Williamsburg, so there. And then afterwards, if the date's going really well, you can just go back to the William Vale and get a shit hot hotel room.
Ooh.
Seal the deal.
Damn.
I know, if you're rolling in it. But that bar, I recommend.
Taya just listed out a perfect evening. If you have a special lady in your life, make it happen.
Yeah.
Or a special man. Excuse me. Everybody can book dates for everybody.
Totally agree. And if you have any date recommendations for us, we would love to hear them, especially, well, Jamie can take a special friend and I can take whoever. Oy vey. Let us know some good ideas.
GDLD@gmail.com. Hit us up.
Guys, it's been, as always, a pleasure.
An absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for letting us pleasure you.
Yeah.
And for pleasuring us.
It's all mutual pleasure. That's what we live for. What else is there to do in this world?
It's true.
Tune in next time.
Adios. Au revoir. Ciao,
bye.
Ciao.
Bye, amigos. Mwah. Peace out.